Bella, you understand?
No.
No.
May we have a brief summary of
what?
May we have a brief summary of that?
I was talking about that quite often, so I mean the brief summary. The brief summary is we should ask ourselves the one important question. Why are we here? Yeah? In this human life? Yeah? When we think about our human life, yeah? When we think, you know, in a very coarse manner. I mean, we are born, we learn some job, then we work. When we work, you know, we buy an apartment, you know, and we build a family, and then we die. What kind of footprint have we left in this world? Huh? Nothing, yeah? Even if we are somebody special, yeah? I mean, look at all the special people that we have known of. Yeah, what kind of footprint? Everything has been washed away. Just like, you know, we build a nice and beautiful palace on the sand beach, you know, and then the waves are coming and what is left? Nothing.
But we know Ajahn and Ajahn will not be washed away.
Ajahn will not be washed away? Why? Yes, just like the Lord Buddha has washed away, you know, every time, you know, the Lord Buddha himself said it, you know, in 2500 years nobody will remember the teaching of the Lord Buddha. And then it takes another 50 or 70,000 years until the next Buddha comes. And in that time nobody knows about the Lord Buddha, so everything is washed away. Every arahant is washed away, every footprint, you know, I mean, we left on this world. When we look at this world, you know, I'm in this world, you know, in 100 years or in 1,000 years, nobody. Yeah? So what is the that's why we should ask ourselves, what is the purpose of our life? Yeah, just to be born, you know, have some job, you know, earn some money, you know, and do the things that, yeah? I mean, that our parents taught us. Yeah?
You would consider that an arahant would be a footprint, right?
A what?
Arahant would be a footprint.
Yeah, but it's not lasting.
They
will be, you know, but there will be not a footprint on the earth.
No.
Yeah, and nobody, you know, in 1,000 years, nobody will remember Lumphuman. Yeah, nobody will remember the Lord Buddha. You know, nobody will remember. Yeah. But, you know, when the next Lord Buddha comes, then the Lord Buddha remembers the previous Lord Buddha. Yeah? But for us, you know, we are normal people. You know, we are not special people. We are just born, you know. Our parents raised us, you know, and they told us, you know, you should have this kind of job or that kind of job. And then you should raise a family, yeah, and so on. And then we die, and what kind of footprint have we left? Yeah? Nothing. Yeah. I mean, everything is washed away, you know. I mean, even this planet is soon or later is going to die, and then there's nothing left, yeah? I mean, we know from the Lord Buddha, you know, that there will be another Buddha, yeah? Coming in about 100,000 years or so, yeah? And then he will leave a footprint, you know, but, you know, his teaching will only last, you know, a certain amount of time. And then he said, then the end of the world will come, because the sun will swallow up, you know, will swallow up all the planets, yeah? I mean, we know that, you know, from physics, you know, we've seen that, you know, I mean, we've heard of it. I mean, there's not even solar system will last. So, what are the beings doing that are not finished with their lives, yeah? I have not find the way out, they will go to another planet. And it's not the first planet we are on here, yeah? What did the Lord Buddha say? You know, there are planets, you know, where there is only coming one Buddha. Then there are planets where there are two Buddhas. And he said, this planet is special, you know, it lasts for a long time, or gives the condition for human beings for a long time, so there will be five Buddhas. And he is the fourth Buddha. Yeah? But even then, you know, I mean, we have lived on many planets, you know. What kind of, you know, where's the footprint?
Is it a problem not to leave a footprint?
No, it's not a problem, but what is the purpose of your life? Huh? I mean, we all think, you know, remember when you were 20? Yeah? I mean, I remember when maybe I was special, but I don't think I was special, you know, because the people around me always wanted to change the world to the better. Every 20-year-old wants to change the world to the better. So when I was 20, what did we want to do? We wanted to get out of, you know, this conservatism of our parents, where the father said, you know, you have to become a lawyer because I'm a lawyer, or you become a salesman because I'm a salesman. Yeah, we wanted to get out of it. Yeah, we wanted to get out of, you know, all of this, you know, this you know, prison, imprisonment. Yeah. And now the young generation, I don't know what they want, you know, but they also want to change the world, yeah? So we do want to change the world to the better, you know, and it never gets better, it gets, yeah? So what, you have to ask yourself, what is the purpose of your life? Especially, you know, I mean, if you think there's only one life, you know, I mean, then it's, forget it, yeah? But if you know there's life after life after life, yeah, and that there is not only one life of a human being, but, you know, once we become a human being, then we either go down or we go up, yeah? Then we are born, you know, maybe as a ghost, you know, a hungry ghost, you know, or an animal, or go to the hell realm, or we go up to the deva realms, and from the deva realms we go to the hell realm, and so on, yeah? I mean, it's a constant cycle, you know, it is, like I said, you know, it's a roller coaster. Going up, you know, it's all taking so long, yeah? When we go up the roller coaster, we can't wait to go down, yeah? Because that's where the fun is. We are scared, you know, but we like this, yeah, this moment of scare when it rushes down. Huh? Yeah? Remember? No? Never been on a roller coaster? Yeah, I think, no, not? That is very... That's very unusual. But most of us have been on a roller coaster, yeah? I mean, it doesn't matter. We go up and we go down, yeah? And then, you know, sooner or later we come up again, yeah? And then we go down again. We just, you know, we just go up, you know, to breathe some air, and then we go under, yeah? And then wait long, you know, until we float up again, you know, and then we breathe some air and say, oh, this world is so beautiful, you know, and then we go out. Huh? So that's why, you know, I really want to make an impression or imprint it into your heart. What is the purpose of your life, yeah? Do you want, yeah, I mean, if you find it is... it's fruitful or it is fun, you know, or if it is satisfying... it's your life, yeah? But if you don't find, you know, and if you have a question, if you come here to this monastery, you have a question, yeah? There must be something more to this life, you know, than just finding a job, you know, or educating yourself, finding a job, you know, having children, you know, and then die. There must be something more, yeah?
I think the purpose of my life is to make the best out of it.
Yes, but what, you know, I mean, you have to have a direction.
Like what to do.
Now, when you say the best out of it, you know what is the best out of it for you, yeah? That must be a direction.
Well, yeah, happiness, well-being.
Yeah, happiness, well-being. Where does happiness and well-being... then we have to ask ourselves, where does happiness and well-being arise?
When does it arise?
Where?
Oh, where?
See, so why do we not look into the heart, you know, where it arises? Instead, you know, I mean, we build our whole world on outside things, yeah? Having a cat, you know, or wanting a... having lots of cats, you know, I mean, there are people, you know, who have 20 cats, you know, and they are just... their whole life is so fulfilled with looking after these cats, you know, they don't realize, you know, what is going on, yeah? So, you should ask the question not only to this, you know, I want happiness, well-being, yeah? When we grow older, where is our well-being, yeah? I mean, when the body gets sick, you know, when the body gets old, when the body breaks down, where is our well-being, you know, then there is no more well-being. But there still could be happiness. You have to ask yourself, where does the happiness arise? So why do I not look inside the heart to find that happiness, yeah? And then, when I come out, to see that this unhappiness around me arises, and then ask the question, why does this unhappiness arise, you know, when I come out of this happiness? What is the source, what is the cause of this unhappiness? Why do I dislike this, why do I like this, you know, when I come out, yeah? That should be the question, you know, if you're really interested. We mostly stop at the first thing, yeah, I want to be happy. Everybody of us wants to be happy, yeah? Huh? Some of us hope, you know, if we have enough money, you know, then we are happy, you know, because we can afford everything what we want. Yeah, but look at the people who have enough money. Huh? Are they happy? No, they are worried that their money is going down. Yeah? That they are losing their money. So they are worried about this, yeah? They have enough money, you know, actually what we want, you know, is enough, so much money that we can do whatever we want to. But these people who have this kind of amount of money, they are constantly worried that their money diminishes. So, I mean, money doesn't buy us happiness, yeah? Happiness arises in the heart. So if we dig into the heart, you know, and look for the happiness, then we can find it. And when we come out, you know, in our normal life, you know, when we come out of samadhi, then this, you know, then these constant wishes, you know, wishing this would be like this, wishes this would be like that, wishes, you know, this wouldn't be like this, and that wouldn't be like that. Where do they come from? Yeah? What is the source of this?
I think as far as I'm concerned, it mostly comes from situations where I feel frustrated, where I do not accept the situation I'm in.
Yes.
However difficult it is, if I accept it, yeah, it becomes a lot easier.
Yes.
And even sometimes we feel,
yeah,
like,
but you have to go one step further. What is the cause that brings that frustration to arise?
Desire.
Uh-huh. And where is the desire coming from? Because if you go into samadhi, there's no desire.
From the sensations?
The sensations are sensations, yeah? You have to look for the root cause, yeah? Where is this desire coming from? And this desire, you know, the likes and the dislikes, you know, of course desire, you know, goes a long way. And that is the one that creates the dukkha. You know, if you look at the second noble truth, what creates our dukkha is this desire. Yeah? It is the desire to want something or the desire not to lose something. Yeah? Or not to meet with this. Yeah? So that's where the dukkha is created. So when we want to get rid of dukkha, I mean, we have to investigate a little more. So, what objects does this desire latch onto? Yeah? And these objects that it latches onto are the five khandhas, the five groups. Yeah? It wants to be conscious, you know, it wants to have feelings. Yeah? We don't like to be, you know, without feeling. We want to have thoughts and imaginations, you know, and we want to have memory. If we live without memory, I mean, what kind of life would that be? Yeah? If we wouldn't remember what we did 5 minutes ago? Yeah? Just like, you know, most of the animals, they don't remember anything. Yeah? They just look at you, you know. They just did something very, you know, they got beaten up, you know, and then they look at you. Yeah? What did I do wrong? Yeah. They don't remember, but we remember, and that can be very helpful, yeah, for us. We need, you know, we need these memories, or just like I said last time, you know, we need this toolbox, the Dhamma needs this toolbox, and in order to get rid of this desire or attachment. Because once we get rid of the attachment, yeah, I mean, we can have an easy life, yeah. Yes, yeah, I mean, the way you describe this, you know, it is just, you know, when we feel pain, you know, just take some medicine. And then the pain goes, you know, then we are happy, yeah? Not looking for the root cause of the pain, yeah? You understand that? That is the Western approach, you know? I have pain, you know, let me get something, you know, to get rid of the pain, and then I'm happy, yeah? And then another pain comes, let me get rid of this pain, but we can't get rid of all the pain, yeah? Yeah, we realize that that's why we are here. And trying to find out something more about it. Yeah. So where is the pain coming from? What is the root cause of it? Yeah. Once we get rid of the root cause of the problem, then there's no more pain or there's no more dukkha. Yeah. You understand? Okay. So that is why it is really important for us to reflect upon that. It's just, I'm just asking people because people think, we are brought up this way, we live a footprint in this world, yeah? Now, everything is washed away, yeah? Our family, our fathers, build a family, wanted to have a family tree. Hey, Ma, huh? And then they want to have, I don't think it is very different in France, the family line, a certain, in German it's called Geschlecht, I don't know what it is called in France, a family tree, going down back to the 12th century or even the 11th century, and building this castle or building that, chateau, and things like that, yeah? That's what people want, they want to live, in their ancestors, and they want to live in their, in their grandchildren, yeah? That's where that is for them life, yeah? But actually, everything disappears, sooner or later. So, what I want with this question, what is the importance in our life, yeah? No, the footprint that we leave, it doesn't matter, this world will disappear, everything disappears and we are on a new planet, so leaving a footprint in this world doesn't make any sense. But what do we want from us? Yeah? Do we want to continue living, going up, yeah, and going down? Because that's what a lot of people don't want to admit to, that we do go up and that we do go down, yeah? And who wants to be in hell, if I really ask? Nobody. Huh? But we do so many things that lead us to hell, but we also do things that lead us to heaven. Yeah? So, the result of our actions, that lead us to heaven, will bring us to heaven, and then we are happy, for a while. Maybe for 1,000 years, maybe for 10,000 years. But then, we have to receive the bad karma that we did, previously. And then we go straight down to hell, yeah? And that is, of course, not nice when we come out of... yes. And sometimes we are, So long, yeah? Can't see the light, because it is so long that I've been in hell, yeah? And it was just fire, it was so hot, yeah? And there was no beginning and there was no end because I was there for such a long time, yeah? And you don't want to be that, yeah? And then compared, to the heaven that we spent, maybe 50,000 years, and then going 20,000 years to hell, it's just like taking a hot and cold shower, yeah? That is an excuse. A very lazy excuse. And lots of Thai people, use this excuse. Isn't it, Kim? Don't gan parami purpai. If you're here, you already have the parami. No.
Just go do it.
You do, with every day you here, you actually reinforce your paramis, yeah? You build up these paramis, yeah? Even if you don't, even if you don't get to the gate or be able to, maybe you get to the gate but not being able to open it up, in the next life you will be able to open it up, yeah? Because of the paramis that you build up, to go to that gate, yeah? It won't be lost, yeah? But it might be hidden, yeah? Well, what happens, when Meiji Pai, you know, she wants to get out of the cycle, you know, and works very, very hard, yeah, and it is very tough on her, yeah. And then at the end, you know, at the last moment, she thinks, oh, I worked so hard and didn't get anywhere. Let's let the next life enjoy ourselves, yeah? So that is, you know, I mean, all the work, you know, it was not in vain, yeah? But it is hidden, yeah? Because the next life, we enjoy ourselves, you know, do this, you know, have a nice family, have a big family, you know, have lots of money, you know, and lots of possessions, yeah? And then at the end of that life, you think, well, what's that all about? Eh? I didn't have anything, you know. And then this hidden, you know, just like it, nothing is lost, you know. This hidden comes up and says, maybe I should, you know. And then the next life, we work hard again, you know, towards the goal, you know. And we reach us, you know, before the gate, you know. And then, oh, it was so typical. And then... That is normally, you know, I mean, that is what is normally happening. Just like people, you know, the Lord Buddha described us as naya, you know, swinging from one, yeah, swinging back into the world and then swinging back to the spiritual path and swinging back to the world and swinging, yeah, that's what we call the naya, yeah. That's what we normally do, yeah. It's, To be able, you know, to go straight and not to look left and right. I mean, that is very difficult. Yeah, I mean, we had to have a lot of training and a lot of determination. No, I'm not going to be reborn again. Yeah, and that can, you know, that can fuel. Yeah, if you have that determination, you know, with every moment that you wake up and practice, no, I don't want to be reborn again. I mean, that gives you a lot, you know. I mean, that's a lot of power. Yeah. And then you might be able to make it even in this life, yeah? But not at home. you can get to a certain point, you know? I mean, that is without question, yeah? I mean, you can even get, you know, to open the gate at home. But that needs a lot of parami, yeah?
But I also recognize that I need you.
Mm. Yeah. At least half a year.
That's why I keep coming. Yeah.
I I do not believe in future lives.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I'm following the Dhamma is because I believe that by following the Dhamma, I can actually improve this very life. Because this one I know it exists, and my experience is that when I follow the Dhamma,
yeah,
I do improve this life.
Yeah.
And I understand that a lot of the Dhamma relies on what happened in the previous lives,
yes,
what might happen in the next life,
yeah,
depending on,
yeah,
on what you do, but I don't grasp this, I don't get it.
Mm.
I understand that when I'm dead, my body will go into the ground.
Mm.
That it will feed some trees, some plants, that will feed some animals, and,
yeah,
and that the cycle of life will go on this way. It never,
yeah,
stops. Like, life goes on in on,
yeah,
different...
Mm.
But I don't believe in actual reincarnation,
mm,
with a memory of what I did in my past life,
mm,
that will be transmitted to,
mm,
the next being that will... And but still, I find enough motivation following the Dhamma,
yes,
because what I see is that in this very life, I can, depending on what I do, it does change the course of his life.
Of course, yes.
And
yes.
And that's enough for me. I mean, it's...
I don't want to convince you of anything, yeah? I mean, I have not... I mean, everybody, you know, is responsible for his own life, yeah? If people think, you know, this way, you know, let them think this way, yeah? So... And yes, you are completely right, you know, if you are in line with the Dhamma, yeah, and if you try to incorporate the Dhamma in your daily life, life itself, you know, becomes more satisfactory, yeah? That's right. But now, ask yourself the questions. Do you have brothers and sisters?
I have half-brothers.
A half-brother, yeah, relatives, you know, happen to know family with a lot of kids, you know? Why are the kids differently, yeah? What makes one, you know, I mean, I asked myself the question, you know, I mean, I was brought up Christian like you were brought up Catholic, yeah? No matter, you know, I mean, when we come, you know, France is mostly Catholic, you know. Germany is half Catholic, half Protestant. Swiss is probably mostly Protestant, yeah. So we are born with that, yeah. So we are raised in a culture, you know, that we don't choose to take on. But I was asking myself the question, why is one born in the ghetto of New York, you know, where his father teaches him how to kill people or how to steal, you know, how to cheat, how to lie? One is another person born as a prince, you know, in Saudi Arabia and living in the utmost luxury. Why is somebody, you know, I mean, working very hard, yeah, and hardly earning his living, and the other person is doing the same work, you know, and getting a lot of money? Why is it, yeah, why is this person like this? Why is this person like that? Huh? That was my question, you know, and Christianity didn't give me, yeah, just told me, you know, believe that is the will of God. And I said, no, I don't believe that. Yeah. I can't believe this, that we, yeah, I mean, if you're born in Africa, in Eritrea, or whatever it is, you know, where people starve to death daily, on a daily basis, or now, you know, you're born in Syria, or in Iraq, where it's constantly bombed, or Afghanistan, I mean, what? Huh? What have they done, you know, to deserve this kind of life? And what have you done to deserve your kind of life? Because your kind of life, you know, just like our life that most of us who are sitting here, I mean, is very comfortable compared to those lives, you know, who constantly get killed or harassed or whatever, yeah? That is the question I asked myself, and Christianity didn't give me an answer, yeah? But the moment, you know, I found Buddhism, then suddenly, you know, I mean, it is just like the law of physics, yeah? Once you understand the law of physics, yeah, then you suddenly understand cause and effect, yeah? But because, you know, I mean, because when you think about, you know, our life, yeah, it is like sitting, like watching a race, you know, whatever it is, horse race, yeah? But the horse race, you know, is for 40,000 kilometers, and we just sit, you know, and have a view of 1 kilometer, yeah? We don't see them start, and we don't see them end. We just see them racing and think, oh, yeah, yeah, this is better, this is faster, this is slower, you know? But we don't know what the end result will be, and we don't know how it was in the beginning. We only see a very, 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 yeah, tiny slice of the whole race, yeah? And that's what we normally see when we come into this world. We see a very tiny slice, yeah? And that's why we don't understand why people, you know, are born in Afghanistan or in Africa and have to starve to death, you know, at the age of 3, yeah? Or why they are poisoned, or why they are imprisoned, or why they are tortured, or why they are this or that, yeah? This, yeah, for us, you know, who are born in the West, who live a very comfortable life, we never ask ourselves, you know, oh yeah, of course it is natural to us that we are born, you know, in the West, you know, I had a very good life, yeah? But what makes these other beings, because if they have only one life, how do they deserve this, you know, to be in this state, yeah? And they don't even have any means, you know, to pull themselves out.
Mm-hmm. People can be in different situations from the beginning, except that I believe that life is not always justice in life. Mm-hmm. That's one answer that I find. And besides this, what I see is that I have traveled a lot in Africa, and I see a lot of people in Africa who seem to be a lot more happy than people, yes, in the West, because the way they look at what they have, yeah, is different from the way, even though we have a lot more,
yeah,
they have gratitude for what they have.
Yes.
And that makes them, it seems, yeah, I'm not African, and, but it seems that a lot, yeah, of people are actually more happy with much less.
That is completely true. And that's what you see here in Thailand, you know, especially in Isan, that is not really rich, you know, the people have more time, they are more happy, you know, they're more relaxed, yeah.
And I think the Dharma gives you tools to, yeah, improve the way you look at the situations you are in,
hmm?
May they be difficult or comfortable.
I don't want to change your mind. No, yeah? No, no. I just ask questions. Yeah. Yeah?
There is detailed documentation about children who are born,
yeah,
and they're not, they don't recognize their parents as their parents.
Yes, I know.
And through time, what they do is that they say where it is that they come from, and when they take those children there,
yes, there are. Yes, there are. You know, people, you know, especially in India or Sri Lanka, you know, I mean, sometimes. But that means, you know, that they have one human birth after the human birth. A very sudden death and a very terrible death. And then they come back, you know, because they have, you know, they still have the parami, you know, to come back as a human being. So they come back as a human being and then they remember. Or, like in the case of Lungta Mahabua, where he met this person, you know, who has been a monk, you know, who was born again because he decided, you know, it is still a good time, you know, to practice. So he came back as a human being and he told his parents always, Atama, Atama, I'm a monk, yeah, yeah. And, you know, my teacher looks like this, my teacher is, yeah. And then with the age of 11, you know, he went to look out with his friends for his teacher, yeah. And then he met his teacher and then he pointed him, that is my teacher, yeah. And then Lungta Mahabua met this guy and met this, he was still a lay person, he hasn't reordained yet. So he asked him about it, yeah. And he gave the story. So, I mean, it has happened, you know, but lots of people don't believe it, and they think that it's just imagination, yeah? So, I mean, I don't...
But it isn't just one or two kids, it's thousands. No,
it's not thousands, but, you know, it's quite a few. Even it happens in England, you know, I mean, people, you know, remember, you know, times in the medieval society in London. But that doesn't convince people. It convinces the ones who are already convinced. Yeah? Yeah? And I only ask questions, yeah? So that you can make your own, you know? I mean, you have to find a way. The way is not, you know, I mean, that we throw, you know, big boulders at you, you know, and say, eat them, yeah? No, yeah? Eat, you know, little by little, you know, the more you understand the Dhamma, the more, you know, it will lead you, you know, to a deeper understanding. And the deeper you go into your heart, the deeper the understanding actually will become, yeah? And then these things naturally, yeah? I mean, we always try, you know, from the Western perspective, we try to convince people, yeah? Yeah, you have to believe this, yeah? Do you believe in God? No, head off, yeah? Do you believe in... You remember the stories of the missionaries into Africa? Do you believe in God? No, head off, you know. And after five people, you know, have the head off, you know, I'm going to say, yes, I believe. That's actually stories, you know, I mean, how they mission, yeah. That's why a lot of Christianity is there in Africa, because, I mean, they were afraid to lose their not because they're convinced, you know, that Christianity, I mean, they have their own, yeah, religion, you know, people in the Indians, the red Indians have their own religion. I mean, it's fine, yeah, I mean, everything is fine, yeah. I mean, people come here, you know, to learn something, yeah. And if you, the more you take in, the more you seep in, you know, the Dhamma, the more you will understand. Don't force anybody, because that can actually have the complete opposite effect, yeah? They are pushed away, yeah? Just like, you know, the witness of Jehovah, you know, come to your door, you know, and try to push, yeah? Push their view on you, you know, I mean, it's more than pushing you away, yeah? Than actually, you know, engaging you in, you know, and finding a way. I mean, Buddhism is like, yeah, okay, yeah. I mean, here you have a bite to eat, you know, if you like it, you have another bite, yeah. And the more you eat it, the more, and the slowly you will understand it, yeah. That's why I never say, you know, you have to be Buddhist, or you have to do this, or you have to believe in rebirth, yeah. I'm just asking the questions, yeah. And then there, it was very important for me because, I mean, I was brought up in the West, you know, everything, everybody has something around me, you know, I was brought up in the golden time. So there were no poor people. Nowadays, you know, in Europe, there are lots of poor people, you know, who can't make their living anymore. But at the time I asked, you know, what happened, you know, why do I have this, you know, big chance, you know, to be born in Europe, you know, in this nice family, you know, I knew other people, you know, who were living in a terrible family. Yeah. Why am I, you know, why do I have all these fortunes, you know, and other people doesn't have any chance, you know, to develop themselves? That was my question, you know. And for a long time, for 20 years, I couldn't find the answer. Yeah. So I turned to humanism, yeah, and then, you know, and then I got in touch with Buddhism. But, you know, I took long time, you know, training in Buddhism and in the Buddhist practice, you know, to slowly deepen the understanding, yeah. So, I mean, I don't force it on anybody. If somebody believes it like that, you know, I just believe, yeah, and whatever we believe, that is the truth for us, yeah. And I have no objection to that.
I'm not attached to the idea that there is no ring. It's just that I haven't been confronted to situations that made me believe it. Maybe it will happen one day and then I'm open to it. But I think the Buddha said, don't believe things because I said them.
That's
believe,
right.
Or try what I say, and if your experience is validate what I said, then you can make it your truth, and that's what I try to do.
Yes.
And everything that I see in the Dhamma so far is when I confront it to my own experiences, it happens to be true, and that actually strengthens my faith into the Dhamma.
That's right.
The things that I do not understand deeply or that I haven't experienced, I don't buy them, and maybe one day I will. And but it doesn't. So far, it's not a. Well, sometimes it gives me doubts because I understand that a big chunk of the Dhamma relies on this reincarnation thing. But it also seems to me that there are different ways of interpreting what reincarnation means.
Yeah.
But altogether, like I said, I mean, the whole thing still makes a lot of sense to me because from what I understand and within this one life, I see that by following the Dhamma, I get a better life. So why not do it?
I don't want to convince you. You know the way that you approach. You know, I mean, you slowly will come to the understanding. Yeah. And the deeper you know, it was the same thing. There's only one thing that I would advise you. Yeah. When you think about heaven, yeah. Don't say there's no heaven. Don't say there's no hell. Don't say there's no heaven. Just say, I don't know. Or I'm not sure of. Yeah? Because then you leave it open. Yeah? And then your experience that you have in the practice, you know, can actually open that channel for you. For me, it was very clear after 1 year of practice. You know, I went through 40 different kinds of death. You know, and I saw the surrounding of these death. You know, and I saw the people. You know, that was surrounding this kind of death that I experienced. So I mean, this certainly didn't come from any kind of imagination that came from previous lives. You know, that I re-experienced some of my deaths of previous lives. And they were not nice deaths. You know, I didn't fall asleep in the bed and woke up, you know, somewhere else. No, they were terrible deaths. They're mostly, you know, cruel deaths, yeah? Being torn apart by four horses. Oh. And then after this, you know, after this nimitta, it is called a nimitta, after this nimitta, you know, when I came out of meditation, I mean, all my muscles, all my arms, all my everything was aching for 2 or 3 hours, as if I really have been torn apart. Yeah? Or, you know, going into a fire, you know, and being, yeah, being burned alive. In, oh, it's not nice, yeah? And then, you know, this experience kept on. How can I then doubt, you know, these things, yeah? But, you know, if people haven't had this, you know, kind of experience, of course they will doubt it, you know, and I have no problem with that, yeah? All my only advice is, you know, leave it open.
Yeah, sure.
I'm not sure. Yeah, whatever. And there were so many things I didn't understand about the Buddha's teaching. And all what I said is, I'm not sure. I don't know. Yeah, maybe, maybe not. Yeah. And that, you know, I mean, that gets rid of the first fetter of doubt, yeah? Because doubting is something, you know, oh yeah, I doubt that there is reincarnation. No, I am not sure. I don't know. Maybe there is, maybe there isn't, yeah? So you make yourself flexible, yeah? And this flexibility helps you on the path, yeah? Yeah, Ella?
So what comes up is, whenever Ajahn says, do you understand, what would be an appropriate answer?
Either be silent.
Okay, I'll take you up on that.
You should ask your heart, you know. You understand, and the heart will say, you know, either yes, in most cases no, yeah. And then just live with this answer.
Usually, superficially, intellectually.
Yeah, intellectually, yes.
Experientially too. So
yes.
I think no answer might be the best.
Yeah. I mean, most of the people understand it intellectually, you know, and they say, yes, I understand, but it has not reached my heart yet. Yeah? That would be the correct answer. If you really don't understand the concept, you know, or whatever I'm talking about, then you just say, I don't understand. Yeah? But if you understand it, you know, I mean, that is, you know, intellectual, yeah. But, you know, you can say, you know, it has not reached my heart, yeah. And that's fine. I mean, it takes a long time to reach the heart, yeah.
I think it's easier to stay silent.
That is also a possibility, yeah.
It's an option. Right?
Yeah, it's always an option. Okay, so, more questions? Gertrude, just to give oneself to the breath, you know, it is so difficult to control the breath. No?